Well, good morning, everyone. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Jonathan was talking about being courageous. I don't feel like I'm doing that this morning. But I feel pretty small in front of you this morning. But I trust that God is bigger. I want to bring Christian greetings from the Farmington Church. Feel free to come visit us there. We'll enjoy your presence. I don't know what you as a church face here every day, as a group here, but what God directed me to talk about this morning, I believe is something that each church, every church, deals with. It is an important thing that we have to consider. And I want to talk about spiritual unity this morning. So what do you think, when you think about brotherhood, where do your thoughts go? What is brotherhood? Just think about that a little bit. What is brotherhood? Brotherhood, by definition, is an association, it is a society, a community of people that are linked together. They are linked by a common interest, by a common purpose, and have the same goal in mind. Brotherhood is a fundamental aspect of a Christianity. It emphasizes the power of relationships and community. Now, Christian brotherhood requires lots of dedication. It requires lots of commitment. But I believe it is a journey that is worth taking. And I believe brotherhood is essential in church. In a church where people walk with God, and where God is placed on the throne of their each individual. And I believe when God is ruling in our life, I believe brotherhood will be viewed as a necessity, and it will be desired. And God looks down with pleasure when a group of people that call themselves a brotherhood live for the good of others, and where one brother lifts the other up and thinks highly about the other rather than himself. Did you know that God blesses? God blesses the children and his children who dwell in unity. And this morning, if you're a child of God and you want to be blessed, God is asking you to dwell in unity with each other. And when we dwell in unity with each other, your fellow brother, when you dwell in unity with your fellow brother, there will not be big me and little you. There will be love. There will be humility that will be expressed. And I believe that unity is what bonds people together. And spiritual unity is essential for true worship. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. True worship before God requires to have a good relationship with the brothers. And how can you truly worship God? Thank you. How can you truly worship God and come before Him when your relationship with your brother is not right? That can happen. There's a verse in 1 John 3:14 that says that there is a difference. There is a change that takes place when you are in unity with your fellow brother. And he says that we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So spiritual unity is essential for true worship. Spiritual unity is essential for true godliness. You cannot be godly if you don't live a life of unity. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? God requires unity. And God will abundantly bless when there is unity in the brotherhood. And this morning, I would like to look at one of David's songs that talks about brotherhood, talks about unity. And I invite you to open your Bibles at Psalm 133. Just a few verses there. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commendeth the blessing, even life, forevermore. Think about David's life. In regard of his past life, David sings this song, the song of unity, and the importance of this song. You know, David knew what it was and what it meant to live with someone that betrayed him. David was betrayed by his own friend, by someone special to him, by someone who he considered equal with him, by someone who he shared life experience with, by someone who even went together to the house of God with. Psalm 55 verses 12 to 14. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. You know, David knew what it meant to live with family discord. He knew what it meant. And he knew what it was like when friends pretended to be godly, but they lived in contradiction to their profession. And from all the hard things David had seen and what he had gone through, David did not allow church hurt to make him not trust the good in other people. And he writes this psalm, singing the wonders of unity. And that's because he had seen the terror and the absence of it. And my question this morning is, can we sing this song that David sang? Can we sing the words that David wrote? And can we realize the importance that this song has behind it? And I'd like for all of us to consider this morning that our attitude towards this song, it reveals the attitude that we have towards our Savior. And the way you relate to God and the relationship you have with God expresses the way you relate with Christians. And when we think about unity, I believe there are a few important points that unity brings out. And verse 1 there, Psalm 133, calls us to see that importance and urgency of unity. There is beauty in spiritual unity. And verse 1 starts by saying, "Behold." That word, "behold," means stop and think. Stop and observe. And just see the importance of unity. I believe it motivates the reader to ponder upon what's about to be explained. And I believe the unity of God's people, it is a sight to behold. And just realize how good and how pleasant it is. There is peace and love. But unity describes the church of God. And unity, it is explained here by David as being as a precious oil that is not to be wasted. And is this oil that Aaron was anointed with? It was something that God created. And it was only used to anoint God's people. And no one else was allowed to use it. You know, the oil was precious in the sight of God. And I believe so is unity. Unity is something that God honors. And it is of much more value to God. And sometimes it might not matter to you, but it sure matters to God. You know, when that oil ran down upon Aaron, it sanctified. And so it does in a group of believers who live together in unity. There is a blessing that comes when people live together in unity. In verse 3, it is presented as a life forevermore. It is God's blessing that pours upon his people, and it comes on the people that live together in unity. And what happens when we choose to do otherwise? We rob ourselves. We rob ourselves from the blessing of God. God's blessings to reach out to every group of people who choose to dwell in spiritual unity with each other. You know, as children of God, we're supposed to labor and desire the unity that binds us together. There's the verse in Ephesians 4:3 that says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So in other words, do all you can to maintain unity among yourselves. And do it by keeping peace. How can unity be maintained when people look for the smallest wrong in the brother next to him? Are we doing all we can? Do we bend over backwards to maintain unity among ourselves? Just take a few seconds and ponder on that. And when was the last time that you did all you could to maintain unity, to maintain harmony with your brother or sister? You know, there's nothing to fight. There's nothing to fight about when there is unity in the brotherhood. Don't we have the same body? Don't we have one body that being the Church of Christ? One Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit who gives the same spiritual life to all believers. And the same hope that we will spend eternity with the same destination. All believers in Christ have the same God and the same Heavenly Father. And I believe when we realize the importance of it, the importance of all these things, unity has a different perspective in a child of God. But what happens? What happens is that often people look too much at the wrong in others, instead of looking to see the good through God's eyes. And how I wish that people would spend more time appreciating the things that are good in our fellow brother or sister, instead of looking at what would separate the unity. And I believe there are more things that we Christians agree on than things that we disagree with. And I believe that should motivate us to keep unity among us. It's one reason Christians seek unity is so the non-Christians see the unity among us. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you hate each other. Doesn't say that. If you love one another. Is that what defines you as a group here? Is unity a characteristic of the Ozer Mennonite Church? Do people around you hear what the Christian in the Mennonite Church stumble over? And what causes divisions among them? Is unity defining you here this morning? David says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He doesn't say good or pleasant. When there is unity among brethren, it creates an atmosphere of peace. And a place where people want to get together. Because love is bringing Christians together. Think of the word good. It is the same word that God used. At the end of each creation day, God says it's the same thing when he looks down and sees his people dwelling in unity today. Do you know when divisions take place? It's when Satan infiltrates. Infiltrates in the life of a person who is not doing all he can to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And I believe it is then when we need to spend more time in prayer and to allow God to speak to us, the way we should approach our fellow brother. And when God directs our life and fills us with peace, I believe he does wonders in relationships among Christians. You know that Satan loves when one brother holds something against the other. And he just can't let go. Or when one sister doesn't appreciate the other. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Satan loves to see unity being destroyed among brotherhood. And when we operate out of anger, when we operate out of bitterness, out of disharmony, all we do is just make room for the devil to come in and to rob us of unity. Did you know that God doesn't intend Christians to be by themselves? Back in Genesis, God said it, that it is not good for men to be alone. I believe it's the same way in spiritual unity. I believe we are created for community as brotherhood. We are created for each other. And I don't think you can separate the unity from a group of believers. And spiritual unity is what Christians should seek after. And when that happens, a lot fewer divisions will take place. And divisions happen when people happen among people when sin enters in the life of a Christian. And they don't operate out of love toward his fellow Christian. And it is then when pride, when selfishness, when strife, bitterness infiltrate in our lives and they create divisions and separating us from each other. You know, at the beginning of time, it was sin that separated men from God. It was also sin that later on separated men from men. And I don't think unity is something that we should be taking lightly. And the Bible is very clear on that and says that who creates divisions among the body of Christ and who sows discord among the brethren, God hates. They're abomination unto him. And I think the spiritual unity begins with us learning how to live together. And what happens when we don't learn how to live together? It is then when things separate and some go one way and some go the other. And what happens today in the church among believers is that strife forms, and sadly that too much time goes by, and hate, bitterness make their way through. Damage is done. And what happens to unity is destroyed. And we have so many churches that have closed down. And I don't think we can blame that on COVID anymore, but on the lack of unity among believers. When people cannot agree on things anymore, they're prone to vote with their feet. We can come to church on a Sunday morning. We can be together. But that doesn't mean we are on the same accord with each other. Togetherness and one accord is not the same thing. One accord is united in the same spirit, agreeing on the same things, humble enough to give in to someone else's idea, an opinion, and to make things work. It is where self is laid aside. And if only people today in a church life would dispute over what it is essential, but what they fight over has more to do with their preference than the principle. And I think there will be a lot fewer disputes among people. If you take away buildings, if you take away money, and if you take away the power. Reflect back in the Old Testament, in the life of Abraham and Lot. There was a time when they had to separate. In order for strife not to affect the unity. There was strife between the herdsmen that the earth could not grow enough of food to supply for their animals. And what does Abraham do? He tells Lot that there should not be anything between the two of them that might create strife, because they both belong to the same family. Can we apply that today? Don't we belong to the same family? There's nothing that should come between the body of Christ that will create strife and divisions. The two of them separate their ways. In order to keep the unity and to stop strife from forming between the two of them, Lot chose one way that looked good for him, and Abraham took the other. And I think that Abraham's idea to separate ways was out of love for his friend. And that's because he wanted that relationship between the two of them to be kept alive. And the love that he had for his friend motivated him to do all he could to maintain that peace. And separating ways was the best thing for them. Again, when a decision like that is done, when it's done out of love for the one brother, and not because there is strife between them, God can honor that. But when separating ways because there is no love, there's no unity in mind, I don't think God looks down with pleasure. Then we have Abraham later. He expresses his love for Lot, and he intercedes to God that he will not be destroyed when Sodom was burned. You know, his love for Lot was still there. It was keeping them in unity, even though they were separated. Philippians 2:2-5 says, "Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And I believe the way we do this is by following after this next verse. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So what is at the base of spiritual unity? It is when we all are in agreement and together on God's principles. When Christ is at the base of our unity and together we are focused on the same things and that matter to God. It is then when perfect harmony takes place and in the body of Christ. When you think of a triangle, to understand what brings us together, you have God at the top, and you have you on one side and me on the other. With God at the top angle, and one on either side at the bottom, the closer we get to God, what happens? The closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. And that is the way. And that is, in a way, at the base of spiritual unity. Have you ever heard what happens when the two mountain goats come together on a path that is narrow, that there is absolutely no room to pass? Will one back up to avoid to a white spot in the road, on the trail? Will one push the other off the trail? They don't do that. No, when they meet, you know what happens? One of them meekly lays down on the trail, while the other gently steps over. And sometimes it might happen they will step right on him. You know, if an animal has this instinct to promote the good of his fellow being, how much more should we? How much more should we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be willing to lay down our will for the good of our brother? When people dwell together in unity, there is a bond that cannot be broken. Then I don't know how many of you know the story of John Fawcett. Maybe you heard it. He was born in England on January 6, 1739. At the age of 26, he was ordained in a small Baptist church. And he served there for many years. But after his family grew, and in spite of his low income, he received an offer to move to a larger church in London. John and his wife accepted the offer. And the day came when they had to say goodbye to the little church where they served. And after the farewell, it was time for them to leave. Bags were packed. His wife tells him that she cannot leave the people. You know what John's response was? He said, neither can I. So they unpacked their bags. And he stayed there for the rest of his ministry. He poured his life into that church. He could not let the people go. And that's because there was a bond that kept them together. It was unity that could not be separated. And to commemorate this event, he wrote the words to this hymn that's called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It has become his most famous hymn that we still sing today. And in closing with all these thoughts, let's keep in mind that God blesses. God blesses the brothers that dwell together in unity. I'd like to end with a verse that's found in Jesus' prayer. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. My prayer is for you as a church here, that as you get closer to God, get closer to each other, to be a witness here in this community, that people may see that you are united. And united, you can move forward. But God will bless each one of you here this morning. Let us stand for prayer. Loving Father, we come before you once again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for being God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the many blessings you share with us. Thank you that you keep us in your care. We thank you that we can be together like this, so we can worship you and hear about you. Lord, we thank you that you want our best. Lord, we thank you that you give us the power that enable us to live together in unity. Pray, Lord, for each one of the people here. Pray that you'll bless their life. Lord, help them to just let self down, to follow after you, and by doing that, there'll be unity. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.